This episode of A Waste of Time with It's the Real is sponsored by CISO. Comedy is experiencing a serious renaissance right now, and CISO is a comedy streaming service tailor-made for comedy lovers and nerds like us, Jeff, with thousands of hours of the best comedy 24/7, 365. Go to CISO.com and start watching all the comedy you can stream for free. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, Eric.
How are you?
I'm pretty good. How are you?
I'm doing great. You know what? We had another great week.
Every week is a great week.
But this one was a little different. It started out with a big Syracuse win over Virginia, which was pretty awesome and a great way to send us out to Los Angeles.
Yes. Well, you went to Syracuse. I did not.
Yes. Well, it was great for me. I had a great flight to Los Angeles rerunning this amazing win in my head.
To be honest, I couldn't. I mean, I'm happy for you.
Uh-huh.
But, like, you know, I'm a Boston University guy, and our basketball team surprisingly did not make it to the March Madness this year.
Well, how was your flight to Los Angeles?
My flight was not great. The girl behind me was throwing up the entire time.
Well, how did that affect you?
I think that there was a general malaise in the air.
Okay.
Not great.
All right.
I ended up with a headache and a fear that I would also throw up. But well, your flight was fine.
My flight was fine. Sorry about yours.
Yeah.
This was a great trip for us. Big deal alert. Big deal alert? Major deal alert? What is it?
It's a major deal alert.
Major deal alert. Hopefully we'll be able to announce it soon. But the really cool part was that for the first time ever, we had a driver waiting for us with our name written on a sign.
Yes.
Now, I don't know what that means. I just know that it felt pretty great.
It means that somebody picked us up.
Yes.
And took us to the hotel.
No, but it was for us.
Yes.
They
spelled our name correctly.
The guy was waiting there. Because we were only there for like 30 hours, by the way. And we only had carry-on luggage with us. We didn't even have that opportunity for the driver with the sign to carry our luggage.
Or roll it or whatever.
This was just like, hey, I'm your guy. You come with me. Anyway, we really were there for, you know, over one day. Flew back on a red eye on Tuesday night. Got in Wednesday morning. Went straight to the studio because we're working on Urbane Outfitters 2 out soon. And then that night, our good friend Matt Fastow became a great friend. Because he invited me to go see Mike and the Mad Dog, the famed radio legends, reunite after 8 years at Radio City Music Hall, and that was unbelievable.
Matt Fastow's getting a lot of love on the podcast.
Three weeks in a row.
Yo, Fastow Hive is like,
yo,
booming.
People should check out the episode that Matt Fastow guested on A Waste of Time with It's the Real with Yo Gotti. So
yeah.
Go back in the archives, check that out. Wait, one more thing before we get into this episode with Rocky Fresh. We went to karaoke with Rocky Fresh the other night, and what was cool about this karaoke spot was not just, you know, that we could sing classics like R. Kelly's Down Low, not just that they had new stuff, like they had new Drake and new Rihanna, they had Down in the DM by Yo Gotti, but you pulled out something that, I don't know, that people have heard maybe for 10 years or so.
Sorry, 2004 by Ruben Studdard. Killed it.
Classic.
Yeah. You want to know what? It still holds up. You wouldn't think that it would hold up after 12 years and a song that has the year in the title.
Listen, he's sorry for May. He's sorry for June. Sorry for July.
In case he didn't tell you.
August, September, October, November.
Till you're December. I'm sorry. Yes, I was looking for like the most obscure song. It had like thousands of pages in this book. And I picked out Ruben Studdard's Sorry 2004.
Killed it.
Killed it.
Killed it.
Rocky sang Paramore.
He's a big Paramore guy.
Who knew?
Well,
I can't name one Paramore song, so.
Sorry.
Yeah.
2016.
Yeah.
Today's episode of A Waste of Time with It's the Real features Rocky Fresh.
Yes,
so,
MMG.
Yeah, so Rick Ross's label, Maybach Music Group, has a bunch of people on it. Wale, Meek Mill, Gunplay, Fat Trell.
Rocky Fresh.
Rocky Fresh.
Yeah.
Rocky's a great guy from Chicago. He's put out a bunch of mixtapes. He's signed to Atlantic Records, and he's some great music out right now, including songs with Ed Sheeran and Chris Brown.
Yeah.
So people should go check that new project out. It's called
The Night I Went To, and it's separated into The Night He Went To Los Angeles, The Night He Went To Chicago, The Night He Went To New York. And he was in New York for this, and let's get into it.
Yo, what up? It's Eric, a.k.a. Uptown Slump, a.k.a. Don't Believe Me, Just Washed.
Yo, what up? It's Jeff, a.k.a. Catalina Chachi, a.k.a. Yacht Bayo.
And I'm Rocky Fresh.
Yeah, and this is a waste of time, but it's the real.
Rocky, what up?
Nothing, man. I got to work on my intro.
You really do. Yeah. I know.
I see what time it is.
Not prepared at all. You didn't even know we're going to have food here.
Man, I did know.
Oh, you did know?
All
right.
Yeah,
too much research. We actually made, so this is not our recipe, this is John Legend's recipe.
Swear.
I swear to God.
Yeah.
This is John Legend's macaroni and cheese.
And John, thank you.
Tell me it's fire, though, right?
It is fire. You guys really executed it well.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, and thanks to...
Yeah, secret ingredient, paprika.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
No, but it's real good, though, right?
It is good.
And we got, like, a Caesar salad on the side.
Yeah,
so.
I'm going to get involved with that soon.
So you just got to town this morning?
This is true.
Where were you flying in from?
Chicago.
Okay.
Hometown.
Yeah.
How long were you out there for?
2 weeks.
So how often do you travel, by the way?
A lot. A whole lot.
To the point where you're like, your neighbors don't even know you anymore?
That's what's the crazy part about it. It's like my whole building, I stay in the building, has 42 floors, and like everybody knows me in the building somehow.
Everybody?
But, yeah, man.
The doormen?
Like that's my squad, the whole building.
Just going like door to door being like, hey.
Yeah.
It's my whole squad in there.
I brought your newspaper.
That's right.
Exactly.
Yeah. How long have you lived in that one apartment?
2 years.
How often are you home, like, in 1 month?
Probably, like, let's say maybe 2 weeks.
Two weeks out of the month?
Yeah.
So where did your mail go?
I go to my house still, and then I have my girl send it out.
Okay.
To other places. Yeah.
Like, I'm assuming that's your girlfriend, not, like, the Mad Men sort of 50s, like, yeah, you know, assistant.
My
like,
secretary.
My girl will take care of it, yeah.
You know, it's whatever y'all want to take it as.
I hope she's not listening.
No, but, like, MMG is very corporate. Everybody is a boss. Everybody's
a boss.
Have, like,
that's
17
right.
assistants.
Yeah.
Exactly. You know how we do it.
Yeah.
How is MMG these days?
It's awesome, man.
Are you just saying that?
Nah. I got a good position in MMG right
well,
now.
Well, yeah, you're a boss.
Up. Everybody
right.
else is
so
sort of...
I'm enjoying it. Me and Ross got a great relationship. He actually just came to his second Rocky Fresh concert in my whole entire time.
In L.A., right?
Yeah, in L.A. And he actually came out and performed with me for the first time. So that was amazing. That was a nice milestone in my rap career.
So how does that go down? Like, does he hang out in the green room the entire time until the very end?
He didn't even stay to the end, actually, because he had a club appearance to host. But he hung out in the green room with my homies and, you know, smoked out and chilled with us. Came out, blessed the stage, and then went to go get his money.
Does he approve of your rider, or does he have to, like, add a bunch of things to it?
I think he approves of my rider, but, you know, when you come to a Rocky Fresh show, it's just you got to have a Jameson. You got to try it if you never had it. Mm-hmm. So
that's
like
a rule.
Must. And then once people try it, 9 times out of 10,
they get hooked.
Yeah.
Is that the same at your apartment, too? You're like, if you enter my apartment, you have to have Jameson.
Yeah, and weed.
And weed.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, the girl's got, like, a real problem now.
Yeah, my girl. Yeah. So the LA show was good, though.
It was amazing, man. One of my favorite shows that I've ever done.
That's dope.
Yeah.
And Ross was the big sort of surprise for everybody.
It was a surprise to me. I didn't know he was coming out either.
Really?
Wait, yeah. So how do you find out?
His homie, shout out to Black. That's like my big homie. He called me like, I want to say an hour before the show started. I was like, yeah, tell security, big homie coming through. And then I told security, and then we still didn't think he was going to come. And then he came, and then...
Wait, does that mean that, like, it's happened before?
Nah, it's just, you know, he got a club appearance. He got a lot of money on the table. I don't want to intervene with
that. But Black doesn't lie?
Yeah, Black don't lie, but, you know, Ross gets busy. You know, he might get caught up in some boss activities.
Of course.
And be running a little late, so...
By the way, Black don't lie? Black don't crack.
That's right.
Black don't crack either. You see me, we smooth over here.
Yeah, but you're also like, what, 20?
24, turning 25 next
month. Yeah. What I know about, you know, people who are 25 years old, they have a lot of wrinkles, but you, you do not.
You know, it's a new day.
Years ago, MTV asked us to do like funny interviews for them, right? So we ran around and we interviewed everyone from like Stevie Wonder to...
Vinny from Jersey Shore. So just legends every single time.
Yes.
Yeah.
And we interviewed the first iteration of Maybach Music. So that was Ross, it was Wale, it was
Meek, it was Pill.
Yeah. So those
Meek
four
and Pill showed up like
really late, right?
Yeah.
Like those, and they were brand new at that point.
Yeah.
They were acting brand new is the point. So Ross shows up on time. Wale shows up like 5 minutes later. So we're just hanging out with those two. Mm-hmm. And Wale goes, "Yo, Ross, I want to sign the next Lady Gaga. I got this girl. I promise you, she's the next Lady Gaga. I want to sign her through you." And he's like, "All I ask for is my 2%.
And Ross goes, "Nah, you get 5%. You know why?
Because you're a boss." And we were like, "Oh!"
You're like, he says it.
It was wild.
Yeah.
We've also heard this about Ross, that he sits and listens to instrumentals and does his own ad libs,
like he
just
tries
to,
them out, like
to
he
feel how they
them.
Sound.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I've seen him listen to instrumentals. I kind of be in my own vibe too, so I don't really be paying attention too much to what he be doing. But I know he definitely works all day.
Yeah. Listen, yeah. Rocky, if you're not gonna come here and tell us all about Ross's ad libs, then we don't know why you're here.
I got some other Ross stories I could tell.
Let's go. Know. Have you been to his Atlanta mansion that used to belong to Evander Holyfield?
Yes, I have.
Have you stayed there?
Yes, I have.
Do you have your own room?
Nah, I mean, I'm sure that,
is it like the real world where you sort of have to, like, call your room? Like,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, it is like that. Yeah. But I think in that house, it's just so big. It's just like, man, you know, it's kind of get in where you fit in.
Yeah.
You can always fit in.
So, so it's a cool vibe there?
Yeah, it is. We stay at the other house, though, more often. He got another house, like, 2 minutes away. It's another mansion. And he's got his studio in there. So that's normally where we stay at.
He has two places in Atlanta.
Two mansions in Atlanta. 3 minutes away from each other.
It's like when there's like too many Starbucks near each other,
right.
And it's like weird for like competition's
it's
sake.
It's just like that.
Yeah,
he's competing with himself.
I thought you were gonna say it's like the designer song. Like I got mansions in Atlanta.
Oh yeah,
yeah,
that too.
Yeah. So you've
Is
stayed
that what
down
he
there.
Said?
I got broads in Atlanta.
Oh okay.
Yeah. Although on Twitter everybody keeps misspelling it as boards, so it says I have boards in Atlanta. It's just like these people are idiots.
Yeah.
People need to read books.
I'm never bored in Atlanta.
Yeah. By the way, that's Jeff's second favorite like mistake that people make. The first is
The first is tell Peter my mink is dragging on the floor instead of
oh,
tell
wow,
PETA.
Peter, yeah.
Yeah.
I can see how people do that.
People are so sure of it, like putting it online. They're just like, yo, like they're bragging. It's
yeah, they're like, yo, tell Peter. Like yeah. We all have a Peter to tell.
Yeah.
Remember the line on Niggas in Paris when he says my jacket is Margiela?
Yep.
Yeah.
I saw a kid tweet his jacket was Mark Jilla once, MRAK.
Do you have any lines yourself that like people just like mistake all the time and you're like, yo?
Yeah, I got this song called Don't Change out right now. And one of the lines, it says, I want your love, I want your pain.
Mm-hmm.
But for some reason, people keep thinking I'm saying I want your love, I want your brain. Which made me think that I probably should have said that.
You should change it right now.
Yeah. Yeah. Listen, if Kanye can like, you know, rejigger all of his like lines.
Yeah.
You should just go keep going in.
While you're in New York, go to Rap Genius.
Yeah,
just like, go in there and be like, yeah, yeah, it was really this. People mistake it for the other one. But
they're going to know we did that now because they're going to be listening to this.
True.
Very it's fine. True. We're never going to put this podcast out.
So just credit us then. Yeah. Like, go there, like tell them that we came up with
I'm
it.
I'm with that.
Okay, so you're originally from Chicago.
Yep.
Where?
Man, I lived all over the city, like South Side, West Side. I live in the suburbs, and I live downtown.
Are you a White Sox fan or a Cubs fan?
I'm both.
No,
yeah,
no.
I could be both. I'm really from there. I can.
You can do whatever you want.
Yeah, I'm really,
you're an adult.
I'm not an outsider.
Yeah.
I love everything in Chicago.
Everything.
Except for all the killing.
But yeah, sure. Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
Did you see the Spike Lee movie?
Nah.
Because you didn't want to even mess with it.
No, because you love Chicago so much.
Just,
that's right.
Yeah,
it wasn't even none of that. I kind of want to see it just to see how bad or how good it may be, but I just haven't got around to watching it.
Yeah.
That wasn't a movie I was going to go to the theaters and see.
Of course.
And then, is it out on Netflix or some shit?
Maybe. Nope. I haven't been looking for it either.
When it comes to Netflix, I'm going to check it out.
Just to see if it's like close to, yeah.
I like Spike Lee.
Of course.
So it's like,
prove it.
Give him a try.
Yeah, go see the movie.
Yeah. You saw it?
I didn't see it. Yeah, Chance the Rapper told me not to see it, so I didn't see it.
Just listen to everything he says.
Everything that Chance the Rapper says, I listen to.
Chance is a pretty smart guy, though.
Yeah.
I would trust his word.
How long have you known him?
I've known Chance since 2010.
Really?
Yeah, like 2010, 2011, early 2011.
Same with Vic?
I know Vic for a long time, since I first started making music, really, in like 2009.
How did you know them?
Just being around the Chicago scene, just, you know, bumping into each other. We all used to shop at the same places. And then they ended up opening for like my first two like mixtape shows in Chicago because they're a little bit younger than me.
Mm-hmm.
And a cool story about Chance, me and him had the same birthday.
Really?
Well, I'm 2 years older, so yeah.
What date is your birthday?
April 16th.
And that makes you an Aries,
yeah.
Okay.
I don't know
what that means.
I don't know.
But I'm glad that we figured it out.
I know, yeah.
Wait, has Chance or Vic been to more shows by Rocky Fresh than Rick Ross?
Oh, 100%. 100%. Yeah, we've been to a lot of each other's shows. Like, we really came up in Chicago just working, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And everybody had their own thing. Chance and Vic went to high school together, and like I said, they're the same age, so obviously they were extremely close. But, you know, I was always out just doing my thing. And
but you guys have the same birthday. I feel like you guys should be closer.
Mm. Nah, we good. I talk to Chance a lot. I think we as close as we need to be.
He doesn't live in your building.
Nah, he doesn't live in my building. Okay.
You just put out a new mixtape.
Yep.
And Chance is a guy who is like, you know what? I'm never going to sell music. Yeah. Like, that's not my thing.
Yeah.
And I think that's sort of like this mindset now where it's like artists look at performing and selling merch as their big money makers, mm-hmm. right? Or like licensing maybe.
Yeah.
But like selling CDs, what is it for you? Like you just put out a free project.
Yeah. I mean, I just make so much music. I feel like I could do both. I feel like I can keep feeding fans with free music, but I still want to sell music too. Just because of the simple fact that, you know, coming from Chicago, we all about the hardware, man. Being, like, growing up in the Jordan era, seeing him win 6 championships, it's like, I want to win 6 Grammys. I want to have 6 platinum plaques on my wall. So just for that competitive purpose,
yeah.
I want to sell music. But at the same time, I'm going
to
give it out for
just to be
too.
Completely honest for everyone listening, you're born in, what, 91?
Yeah.
So you saw Jordan win all of his championships when you were, like, 0 to,
yeah, he won,
like,
the first championship
6.
When I was born. Yeah, for sure.
It's not a coincidence.
Well aware, though. Well aware of what was going on.
But you look at, like, what does Jordan mean to you now? Does he mean...
Yeah, he mean a lot. He mean a lot.
He doesn't mean, like, baggy jeans and, you know...
Nah. Jordan means winning. Like, that's all I think about when I think of Jordan is winning. I got on his shoes right now.
Yo,
I got a huge Jordan collection.
I've never worn Jordans because I'm a Knicks fan.
Mm.
And I'm loyal.
What? We got Knicks
no,
colorways in the Jordans, though. Spike Lee got his own Jordans for the Knicks fans. You
wow, you do
involved.
Love Spike Lee.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Anything Jordan related, which, you know, Spike Lee was in a few Jordan commercials. He got my respect from that.
Okay, so you're originally from Chicago. You moved all over.
Yeah.
What was elementary school like? Were you moving like those years too?
Well, elementary school was kind of weird for me because I went to a Christian school at first where my mom worked there, and it was actually like not as nice as it sounded.
Well, what did your mom do there?
She was like, first she was a teacher, and then she started working for the church that the school was under. So she was like the director of membership for the church. So she used to work right underneath my classrooms and stuff. And I used to get in trouble. I skipped a grade, so I was like real... just like ahead of myself in school, like with my behavior too. And then my parents moved out to the suburbs. They put me in a suburban school. It was like
public school. Yeah.
And I got kicked out like within like 3 weeks and got put back into my Christian school. And then I graduated from there.
Damn.
So, yeah. I don't even know why I got kicked out, though. I didn't fight or nothing like that. I was just like a talkative dude.
But it's public school, too. There should be like less rules than the Catholic school.
I had the girls going crazy in there, too. That was like a distraction. Facts, though.
Yeah. How did you have the girls going crazy? Just because you were talking?
Yeah, I had game. I was running my little young game.
Okay.
And, you know, I had a few of them liking me and stuff. And they were getting into altercations, I guess. And I was kind of looked at as a problem child. My mom actually came up to the school and with me, too, man. In front of my classmates. It was pretty sad.
Do you think that maybe your teachers misunderstood you? Like, just in general?
100%.
Like, they thought you were saying brain when you were really saying pain?
Probably.
Yeah.
When
yeah.
your mom whooped
Maybe
you, was
I was
at the hand of God?
At that time.
Yeah. When your mom whooped you, was at the hand of God?
Man, yeah. In her mind. In her mind, God wanted her to whoop me. The kids.
And then middle school and high school, like, were you rapping then?
No. I had a freestyle battle my last year of high school, like 2 months before school was out.
In school?
In the parking lot. And I won $80.
Really?
Battle. Yeah, it was crazy.
Does that mean like everyone puts in money?
Yeah, it was like 4 people that put in $20 or something like that. I didn't even have to put up nothing. There was this one kid that like put me in the battle. He was like, man, I bet you, you know, my real name is Donald. So he's like, yeah, I bet you Donald can beat this guy. I was like, you don't even know that I can rap. I used to play around like in freestyle a little bit in school just like to joke around on some class clown type shit, but... yeah, I had a battle and I won, and then that's what made me start taking it serious.
That $80.
$80.
Yeah, $80. That was a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can get a pair of Air Force Ones, be in the game.
Can't get a pair of Jordans, though.
You need an extra 40.
Yeah.
At least.
So how do you get to like going from $80 to taking it as a more serious lifestyle and paid sort of career?
I guess he touched on it earlier. It was the hand of God. I don't even know how it happened. Honestly, like my first show that I did in Chicago was sold out. And it was just like a real eye-opening experience for me because I didn't even know people was listening. Like, this was before Instagram and all of that. And I had like 400 Twitter followers at the time. The venue was 500 capacity. So it just didn't make sense. But it was a lot of people there. They knew all the words to my first project. And then ever since then, I just started riding it out.
And where'd you put that first project?
It was on this local website called Ruby Hornet.
Oh, yeah. I remember Ruby Hornet. Yep. Yeah. How big a deal was getting on to Fake Shore Drive?
Huge deal for me.
How'd you do it?
Man, just hard work. I put out a lot of songs. We was always in contact with Andrew Barber.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
As a site. And I guess one of the joints that I put out, it was a self-titled song called Rocky Fresh. And it's got a lot of talk going in Chicago somehow. I don't even know how. If you heard the song, you wouldn't even believe it. It wasn't really all that. But that was the first song that they picked up on me. And we just had a great relationship since.
Did you feel like you were part of the Chicago wave, or did you feel like you were almost separate from that because you had already been signed at that point, hadn't you?
Nah, I feel like I helped, honestly, like, to be 100 with you, I feel like I helped create it. Like, we were one of the first artists in Chicago that actually sold out shows without it being no violence, without nothing being crazy. And we really brought a lot of attention to, like, just the another side of the music. And it's nothing to take away from Chance and Vic at all, but I think we even helped, you know, get them a platform to get their music out as well, just due to the fact that I was a little bit older than them. So yeah, I feel like you know, we kind of faded into the background just because I'm a chill type of dude, but mm-hmm. I think yeah, we was a part of the forefront of a lot of that stuff.
Well, I just meant that, like, you had already been signed, and it was like, yeah, so like, yes, you,
yeah, I got signed, yeah, late though, like Lil Durk, Chief Keef, my big bro who had YP, like a lot of people, King Louie, they all got signed before me. So I was like kind of in the back, you know.
And you knew all them?
Yeah, them all my homies. We all did several shows together leading up into getting signed. So yeah.
So what was that like when all the A&Rs were like running to Chicago at that point?
Man, I was shocked.
Yeah.
You know, and like I said, I was really happy for my peers too, because everybody got their deal before me. So I'm just kind of waiting in the back. One day, you know what I'm saying? And then it came about, and it was a cool time, man. And like, things have been way different since, you know, because everybody's moving and on the road, so you can't really see the power of the relationships. But I mean, a lot of us really came up together in the music scene. I ain't saying I was in the hood with a lot of these dudes or nothing like that, but when it came down to the music, you know, we all, like, were very unified at a certain point.
Were there any other deals that came close before the MMG thing closed?
Yeah, I had, like, a bunch of offers. I had an offer from Diddy at the time.
Whoa.
I had an offer from Columbia. Had another offer from Universal. But it's just Ross, like, it was bigger than, you know.
He gave you a watch.
Yeah, gave me a watch afterwards. But it was bigger than the deal, you know. Like, that's my homie. And we talk a lot just because he was so open with me about certain stuff before I even signed to him. And just the fact that I was 21 at the time, and the trust that he, like, instilled in me as an adult, even at a young age, it just made me know that he could respect me, you know, throughout the course of my growth. So yeah, that's why I did that.
Had you been to Miami before meeting Ross?
Yeah, but with my parents. I ain't had that experience. The first time I went out to Miami with Ross, I was, what?
Wait, what did you do with your parents, and what did you do with Ross?
My parents, like, we stayed at some type of resort and did, like, family stuff.
This,
you know,
sounds like MMG already.
Yeah. Yeah. Hotel breakfast vibes.
Yep.
Nothing too
continental.
Crazy.
Exactly. Yeah.
With Ross, I got a Rolex. Mm-hmm. He had gave me, like, this Lamborghini for the week. And we went to the strip club called Tootsie's, which is an amazing place. If you're ever in Miami,
I heard the wings are good there. Gunplay said, yeah.
And the lobster tails, they got a nice Salisbury steak too.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, you recommend the entire menu,
basically.
Yeah, I celebrate everything at Tootsie's.
That's right. So you go down to Ross's. Did you play ball there?
I don't think I hooped the first time I was down there, but I played ball at his house before. Yeah.
Who's the nicest on MMG?
I haven't really played against any of the other artists. I heard Stally is good,
mm-hmm.
but I've yet to see it.
Wow, that seems like a challenge.
It is. Midwest, you know, come holler at me.
One of my favorite videos has to be Ross, Meek, French,
and Khaled.
And Khaled all playing horse.
Yeah, when they were shooting for the money.
Yeah. You freestyled for money, but this is like...
Yeah, that's another level.
Yeah,
it was all $70.
Get up a little bit. You know?
No, long range, like, yeah, shots just like falling.
Yeah. For like $3,000.
And Khaled's nice.
Yeah, well, Khaled's a winner, man.
Yeah.
Well, people starting to see that now, but yeah, he's been a winner.
How important were Chicago DJs for you?
They were important in the sense that Actually, one was really important and specific. His name is DJ Timbuktu. He just passed away.
Rest in peace, yeah.
That was the first person to ever play my music on the radio. And with that, me and my bro YP and another one of the homies, Big Homie Doe, who actually manages King Louie now, we had a single together called Fly Like This, which was number one on Timbuktu's radio station for like 7 straight weeks. So that was like a huge moment in the city for all of us, for our families. You know, it was dope. So that was a huge thing. But I also think, you know, just the fans in general, like we learned how to win without having songs on the radio too. But the DJs definitely played a big role in getting that awareness up.
I feel like my favorite song of yours has to be This Ain't What You Used To.
Word.
With Hit-Boy. I mean, like, I like it because it reminds me of Mace in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
And I was wondering, you have a new song with Hit-Boy. But, like, what are the chances of you guys, like, really, like, sitting down and doing, like, a full project together?
It's crazy because, like, me and him work so fast together. Like, I made What You Used To in 20 minutes. He made the beat in 15 minutes, so the song took about, you know, 35 minutes total to complete. And we got a ton of songs together already just because we work so fast. So, believe it or not, we talked about releasing a project. And, you know, we're just trying to get everything together for that. And it's an exclusive for you guys.
Yeah, that's dope.
By the way, that song you did took less time than this macaroni and cheese.
That's right.
What's
yeah.
cooking up over here.
So you and Hit-Boy, would you use like a totally separate name like The Throne did? Or would it be like...
Or like Sean and Jhené Aiko.
Right, yeah.
I don't know 2088. About all that. I think me and Hit-Boy both trying to get our names out here a little more, so we're going to have to do the Rocky Fresh times Hit-Boy.
Yeah.
Times Rocky Fresh.
Did you have a name before Rocky Fresh?
Nah, I never had a name. I was just regular old Donald before.
So where'd it come from?
I mean, first of all, regular old Donald is a great name.
That'd be hot, though. Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Might have a little alias.
Yeah. That should be your next AKA next time you come on here.
I'm with that.
So where did Rocky Fresh, the name, come from?
It's crazy. Like, me and I got one of my other homies with me too. His name is Kills, and we used to just watch The Three Ninjas when we were kids, you know. And Rocky was the one that got all the girls. Not saying that Kills didn't get girls, he got a lot of girls too. But yeah, that was just my whole little vibe. And then when I got to high school, I was like one of the best dressed kids, just because I used to play sports. But I went to a school that was just so competitive, and I was so short at the time that, you know, I couldn't really find my lane in that.
Yeah.
So I started getting into fashion, and that got me a lot of, you know, attention.
Mm-hmm.
And so with that, everybody was just like, yeah, Rocky always fresh, you know. I just put it together. I didn't think I was gonna be a rapper though when I did that. So
like, never?
Nah, I didn't, you know. I was like, chill, man. I don't even know how this happened once again, but you know, I'm glad I'm here.
Wait, hold on. So you have a friend named Kells?
Yeah.
Is he from Chicago?
Yeah.
How do you have a name Kells when you're from Chicago? Mm-hmm. When R. Kelly,
that's the thing, he a player like R. Kelly. Okay. Junior version. But his real name, Kelvin.
Okay. First name, last name.
I mean, Robert Kelly is Robert Kelly, so he's like got that too. But
you see what I'm saying?
Yeah. By the way, you have
R. Kelly rock with us too. Shout out to Big Homie.
There are I want to talk about more about R. Kelly. But but I did want to say that there are more people in this apartment now than any other time during this podcast, except maybe the Migos who brought 10 people.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Man, we got to top that.
I know,
time.
Yeah. It's like, how many people can fit into, like, you know, a phone booth?
Yeah.
Do you know what phone booths are?
A phone booth? Yeah, of course.
Okay, no, I don't know. You know, they like, sort of, like, course. Phase them out, like, at a certain point. Yeah.
I'm not that young. Goddamn.
I don't know. You might be the youngest person I've ever met. So... I want to talk more about R. Kelly.
Oh, yeah.
Have you played basketball against him?
Nah,
no, you said
you
haven't played.
I heard some stories, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, I heard he's an interesting guy to be on the court with.
Do you have any music with R. Kelly?
I do. I'm on the remix to one of his singles for his, not this last album, but the album before that.
Snake.
I want to say it wasn't called Black
Contagious.
Panties. It was
no, Black Panties was the album, right?
Yeah,
that was the one, and then so it was the one before that.
Well, he did,
it was called My Story. That's the name of the song. So I'm on a remix to that.
Nice. Yeah. And like, he's always treated you well and looked out for you
from a distance. You know, he reached out for the remix.
Yeah,
I took that as enough for me.
Sure. Yeah. Have you seen him in concert?
Have I seen R. Kelly?
Are you a 40-year-old black woman?
No, I haven't seen him in concert. Weird story, though. I think he performed I Believe I Can Fly at a graduation at my school.
Yo.
That I was at. Yeah.
That's dope.
Yeah.
That's really awesome.
Yeah.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
He went
Why
to,
was he
went
there?
To the church that I went to school at.
Oh.
So it was like a special guest thing from one of the members.
Wait. So, like, he went regularly to church there? Yeah, would regularly. You see him, like, in the pews and all that?
Well, we go to a...
And you're like, yo, that's Kells. And it's like, no, not Kells, but R. Kelly. Yeah.
Kells was always with me, yeah. So we already knew it wasn't him. But he always used to sit way up at the top. We go to a really big church. It's like 10,000 capacity.
Oh.
So he sits in his own little section in the Raptors. But anybody in the building, they know that's him up there.
He has his own section.
Too. Yeah, boss.
You know, who performed at my high school graduation? The Harrison High School Band.
Really?
They played the national anthem.
You might need them for some background. Yo, still in touch with
it's anyone? Lit. Yeah, absolutely. Just go to my Facebook page and you'll find a bunch of people putting up memes.
That's right. Do you get mad when people spell your name incorrectly?
Nah.
You're cool with that.
Yeah, it's not my real name.
No, that's, you know? Okay. If they misspelled Donald, then it'd be a problem.
Yeah. You feel me?
For us, where it's the real, right?
Yeah.
ITSTHERAL, no apostrophe, no spaces.
Yeah.
We get, more often than you even imagine, correspondence through our website, which clearly like has our faces on it.
Right.
Where people ask us about the women's talk show, The Real.
Oh, man.
The syndicated talk show.
No, that's a different question. So, do you get confused? Do people confuse you for ASAP Rocky?
I've gotten it like a few times, but not as much as you would think, though.
You know who does get it, though?
Who?
Who was, somebody just got it at, Joey Badass. Joey Badass flipped out on somebody.
Yeah.
That's it.
I wouldn't flip out like that.
If you were called ASAP Rocky.
I don't Joey Badass at all, but I wouldn't, I'm chilling.
Yeah.
When all the A&Rs come into town, they're all courting you. Did they take you out to dinner or anything?
I went out to some cool dinner spots. A lot of them came to Chicago to meet up with me. I think, like, the coolest part was actually, you know, spending, personal time with Ross and Diddy,
yeah,
in their houses and them
so
taking me out.
Here's the interesting thing about that, right? Is that we had Andrew Barber on during Grammy weekend, out in LA, and Andrew was like just randomly talking about how he went to Puff's mansion down in Miami with Trinidad James.
Yeah, that's dope.
The next week we had Asher Roth on, and he just mentioned that he was down at Puff's mansion in Miami.
Yeah.
Then Mano had a story the week after, and then
I mean it's gone on and on and on. And so crazy. Now we need to ask you. Tell us about Puffy's mansion.
Okay, so here's the catch with that. I didn't go to Puffy's mansion in Miami. I actually went to his mansion in LA.
Really?
And I also went to his penthouse out here in New York. So it was very professional, honestly. I mean, like, he was really serious about, you know, doing business. And I was, too. So we really had, you know, some very, I guess, business-friendly talks both times. It was very chill, though. I think it was cool. He had, like, this cheese cracker, like, deluxe tray delivered to him on both occasions.
Like, right in front of you?
Yeah, right in front of me, and offered me some. I didn't even feel comfortable touching the cheese cracker.
Did you think that was a test?
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just like The Matrix.
We just want to take a second out of this episode with Rocky Fresh to say thanks again to CISO for sponsoring today's episode. If you like comedy and you want all your favorites in one place, CISO is for you. It's a premium comedy streaming service with original series, quotable classics, next day late night, stand-up specials, and more. CISO for yourself. Jeff, CISO's got all 40 seasons of Saturday Night Live. It has the entire Monty Python library, all the Kids in the Hall, Parks and Rec, both versions of The Office, that's Steve Carell and Ricky Gervais, and hilarious brand new exclusive stand-up and series from people like Upright Citizens Brigade, Cameron Esposito, Dan Harmon, Scott Aukerman, and Jonah Ray every single week. Plus, it's 100% ad-free and costs just $3.99 a month. Even better, you CISO for yourself for free. Right now at CISO.com, that's SEESO.com. Let's get back into this episode with Rocky Fresh. The first time you met Puff, what was that like? Were you just like, holy shit, like
100%.
Legend.
100%. We pulled up at his house and one of his assistants came and got us. And when we walked in there, they was like, yeah, he'll be down in a second. So it's obviously that way to like, oh shit. Then there's people coming down the stairs. Every person that walks down, you thinking it's Diddy, but it's not him. And then when he finally came down, it was just like, whoa. It's like Diddy.
Yeah.
And then just the things he had to say about my music, I think that was another cool part about him and Ross is that they knew so much about my project without having to look at it. You know, it's not like they had the mixtape in front of them. So they was just telling me different titles of songs and different lines that they heard in these songs and asked me about the samples I used. I think I was really shocked just by how well they knew my stuff.
Yeah.
Did you dress up special when, like, you saw them?
Nah, I was... It's funny too, man, because I was in a weird financial situation at that time too. I was like 20.
Right, too much money. Yeah.
I didn't have enough, you know, so I was just
You should have freestyled out. More. Yeah. Yeah,
probably. Probably. I was doing shows by then too, but we was just investing it into the brand so much. But I also stayed fresh always. But I think, you know, at the Diddy and Ross level, I was definitely underdressed. But it obviously worked out well.
By the way, can you be underdressed with Ross when he only wears sweatsuits?
Man, you got to understand. That's a little chill thing. Wearing the Versace blouses with the sandals and all of that, you know?
Yo, I was just watching him on Snapchat, Ross. Mm-hmm. He was like, he's at his mansion in Atlanta, right? Mm-hmm. And he yells across the his entire backyard to some horses. He says, come over here. And then they did. And yeah, I was just like, oh, my God.
He's a boss, yeah.
Yeah.
What's the point of having horses if they don't listen?
They're not. I don't. I feel like it's a metaphor for life, but I don't even know if they're his horses. That's the weird thing.
They are his.
Oh, they are his?
Yep.
Wait, can Ross ride? Can Ross ride a horse?
You don't need to have him ride a horse.
You know, those are for...
I'm just saying he's
start thinking like a boss, yeah. Jeff.
I'm just saying he's a very big man.
You gotta race those to get the M's, more M's.
Do you know French's manager Gabi?
No.
Oh, all right. Well, he's
I know French though.
Yeah. Well, so Gabi is the guy who's very heavy set and hangs around him a lot. He looks like a thumb, sort of.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I know the.
Yeah.
Yeah. Shout out to Gabi. Yeah,
so they went out to Morocco.
Yeah.
Not because of the way you described.
No.
Yeah.
I'll take the heat. It's
that's
fine.
Right. Yeah.
I'm the one who thinks he's a thumb, not
they,
you.
They went out. But, they went out to Morocco together, and Gabi got on a
camel
and broke
that
it.
Motherfucker. Like,
where's the footage of this?
Somewhere. Yeah,
I gotta find this.
Somewhere.
I believe this.
Facts.
Crazy.
Yo, Black ain't never lie, and it's the real ain't never lie.
Well, specifically about this.
That's
like,
right.
We've never lied about this one thing that we've heard.
By the way, you know what the best line is out right now?
What?
Is on Fat Joe and Remy Ma's All the Way Up. Remy says, because she's talking about money, she goes, I got brown lira. I ain't talking about Ross, bitch.
Oh, wow.
Which obviously was recorded like while they were still together.
Exactly.
But great line.
Yes.
Solid. I got to check line. That song out.
Shout you don't out. Know it?
Nah.
Well, hold
guys,
on.
Guys.
Nah. Reserve the next 4 minutes.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah.
Nah.
No, All the great. Way Up by Fat Joe and Remy Ma.
It's great.
Sorry, Fat Joe.
Biggest record in the country right now.
Really?
Produced by Kool & Dre.
Shout out Kool & Dre.
Have you worked with those guys?
I haven't worked with them yet, but I do have some beats from them. So.
That's dope.
Yeah, hopefully we'll get some stuff done. I like to be in the studio with producers before I start recording today's stuff because sometimes you get the recording on it, then they didn't get the beat out to somebody else. So hopefully we can link up and do some.
I was reading recently about when Janet Jackson did her first album with Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis. They spent the first week together just hanging out, like not even in the studio, just driving around Minneapolis just to sort of enjoy each other's company and get to know each other, like, on a personal level before they even went to the studio. Is that's how you want to work, too? You want to get to know the person?
I think it's either that I have an extremely good relationship with you and we kick it before we work for that in that type of situation, or I have had producers that have made some of my bigger records that I've never even met in real life, like all email, you know?
And, who's that?
Case in point, like Boy Wonder, he produced God Is Great. I've never actually met him in person. But we always talk via email. He sent me a lot of joints. He also produced this song, Lifelong, I have, which is like my biggest video on YouTube. And that's another kid that I work with. His name is Chris Batson. He's produced a ton of records for me on my new projects, and I've never met him yet. So
that one day when you finally do meet him.
Yeah, it's going to be crazy, man.
You consider Diddy. You consider Columbia. You consider Universal. Mm-hmm. Ross sells you on MMG. That meant definitely you were going to sign to Atlantic, or definitely you were going to sign with Ross and wherever
his label would put you.
Well, we also had, at the time, MMG was with Warner Brothers. So we had a really good relationship with people at Warner Brothers as well. So that also played into it. But I think when we moved to Atlantic, it was a dope thing because, you know, I had a lot of my homies that I knew that were working in the industry. Like, you know, my bro Jason Davis.
Yeah.
As you guys know Jason. And also, my manager was interning for Atlantic at the time. His name is Andrew Gerler.
Yep.
So, you know, we had a good relationship with those people as well. So it all worked out either way.
By the way, I met Andrew Gerler like maybe 5 years ago at a shitty concert that both Jason and I were at.
Oh, wow.
And
it wasn't my concert.
No, it wasn't. Your other manager, who used to be our manager, Jordan, the last time we saw you, we were like, hey, like, Rocky, there's something we need to tell you about this guy who works in your management group. He has a dog. It has three buttholes.
Oh, yeah, you told me about that. Never gonna let me forget that one.
I was like, I don't even know if we congratulate you on the project. I think we were just like, yo, we need to tell you about this guy you work with.
That's so crazy. How's that dog doing, by the way?
It's fine. It doesn't actually have three buttholes.
No, just one.
It just looks like it.
Yeah, it's regular.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah.
That's yeah.
So you signed to Warner Brothers, then they move you over to Atlantic. Mm-hmm. To this point, you have not put out a formal project through the label. Is right. that correct?
Correct.
What has stopped that, and do you want to put out a project through the label?
Yeah, I definitely want to put out a project through the label. I think, you know, just with everybody being so young in my team and also a lot of people that work at the label, too, we all around the same age. I think it's just everybody's growing, you know, and with that, you just got to have a certain type of patience when you want to do things right. I think I could have threw out an album for sale, but I don't think it would have did what I wanted it to do. So until I feel like it's going to do that, then I'm going to just keep putting out free music.
On a different point, back to the buttholes thing. So here's the picture.
That's critical.
But the truth of the matter is, they're not really three buttholes. It just looks like it.
It looks like three buttholes.
It's the way the hair sort of moves around the legs or something. Yeah.
That's deep.
Yeah. I mean, it is.
That's an interesting word choice, Rocky. Thank
yeah,
you.
Yeah, yeah. For anyone who doesn't know what it's like to be a signed rapper on a major label, how many people are you working with on your project? Who's most intimately involved?
Man, there's so many people, like, and you're talking about just from a music level or
sure.
just all of the people?
Administrative.
Yeah,
yeah, everything.
That's what I'm saying. Like, there's so many people involved with it, and I think that's really the learning experience. It's like a lot of this stuff is bigger than the artist sometimes, you know? You got to learn how to trust other people, but also I'm learning more and more that, you know, closed mouths don't get fed. And sometimes I'm a quiet dude. I'm always chilling, but you got to speak up for yourself in this business at any level. When it comes to working with producers, you got to make sure you let them know what they want. When it comes to collaborating with artists, you got to demand a certain level from them. When it comes to working with label people, you got to do the same thing. So it's like, I guess that's the biggest thing, is just make sure you speak up for yourself and also have some sense. You know, when you young, you kind of want to do things that don't make sense sometimes. So it's just about finding that balance and, you know, speaking up.
But do you ever feel like there are arguments that maybe, like, you were ignored on even still that you feel like you were right about?
Oh, yeah, a lot of times. And sometimes, too, I'm humble, so I let people do it their way first. You know, like, I'm young, and even though life is short, you know, I got a lot of time because I believe in myself a lot. So with that, I sometimes let people watch their mistakes, and then, you know, we try my way the second time.
How well do you know Big Sean?
I don't know him too well.
Okay.
I met him a couple times, and I opened up for him, like, when I was younger, mm-hmm. back in Chicago. And he's a super dope artist.
Totally. And he's somebody who, when he signed to Def Jam, there were a bunch of years there where he was, like, screaming on people and trying to...
And it paid off, you know?
Yeah, totally. Yeah. But, like, when he finally hit and he finally matured and, like, listened to certain people, it worked out for him.
100%.
Not to say that, like, everyone knows everything on either side.
Yeah.
But it is an interesting process.
Finding that common ground, you
for
know?
Sure. So does that mean that you record so much... Like, let's say this, like, Hit Boy project that you have sitting on the shelf, which is titled what?
I won't have a title yet.
But with that project, or with, like, all the music that you have, who makes the final decision in terms of, like, you wanting to put out a free project?
That's really me, honestly. Like I said, you know, it really go back to just believing in yourself. And I know that I'm always getting better with the music, you know, so I don't have no problem putting stuff out. There have been records where I've been really close to that I wanted to see get put out in a different way than they got put out. But once I saw that wasn't going to happen in the time frame that I wanted it to happen, and, you know, I put the record out for free because I always know I can make another one. So with that, you know, I'm always working on projects, and, like, I'm always linking up with some other artists. And when we do link up, we always get a bunch of records done. Even with Ross, I got a bunch of songs with him. Not saying that it would be a project, but if we wanted to do that, you know, then that's a possibility.
Just that's awesome.
To the way we work.
How often does, like, all of MMG get together?
To be honest, not too often, but I think it's more so because everybody is just, like, on the road getting to the money, man. Like, it's very hard to put five guys that tour, you know, to eat, like, to get them in the same room.
Totally.
So, yeah.
How well do you know, like, Gunplay or Fat Trell or, like, any of the guys?
Believe
like,
it or not, I got good relationships with those guys.
Like, I choose to believe it.
Yeah.
Fat Trell is my homie.
Yeah.
Gunplay is one of my big homies. We've worked together already. Me and Fat Trell worked together before. Fat Trell is actually the same age as me too, so we relate a lot.
Is he an Aries?
Nah, I don't think so. I don't think so. I got to give Fat Trell a birthday. I got you on a gift this year too. Just I forgot. Shit. But yeah, all of them my homies. Meek, Wale too. I'm cool with everybody. Stally, Omarion.
So obviously you've been to Ross's Miami place too.
Yeah.
And do you know his personal chef?
Not really.
Do you follow Ross on Snapchat?
Of course.
Yeah. And you follow Khaled on Snapchat?
Of course.
Do you follow Lior Cohen on Snapchat?
No, I don't.
No,
no, we
see, that's
one.
Where you're fucking up.
But, yeah. But see, I'm not a big Snapchat guy, really, honestly. Well, I mean, I'm starting to get into it a little bit, but at the same time, it's just like I'm more of a, I don't know, I just really ain't into it that much.
Oh, it once follow Lior,
yeah,
and it'll
then you're
change
gonna be
your
like,
life.
Very I'm with into that. Snapchat.
I'm trusting y'all again.
Yeah.
This one.
So
yeah.
It's Lior.Cohen on Snapchat, right?
All
right,
cool. I'm with
and
you.
And he is... It's like a
someone described it. One of our friends, Scott, described it as a Frankenstein version of DJ Khaled.
Word. Like, so he's giving motivational stuff just in a different tone of voice.
That's sure. That's one way yeah. to put it. Yep. Okay. Mm-hmm. He met up with Khaled down in Miami, and they're friendly, right?
Yeah.
And he was like, he saw that Khaled has his thing with Ben. You know, Ben, the
Ben Kicks.
Ben Kicks. Yeah. The 18-year-old millionaire shoe seller. It is booming, right. So he goes, how's business? Booming. That whole thing. Actually, and the best thing was when they were in Vegas. Is that right? When Chris was there, too?
Oh, yeah. So Khaled asks Ben, how's business going? Ben says, booming. Then Khaled goes to another guy next to him and goes, yo, like, Chris, how's business? And Chris says, booming. And Ben goes, come on! This is one thing in life, yeah.
So Lior sees this whole thing, loves it, right? Steals it, goes around the country. If he's staying, or around the world, actually, if he's staying like in London, and he sees a bellhop at a hotel, he was like, "How's business?"
And the guy's like, you know, it's fine. And then he's like, "No, like it's booming,
wrong."
And he makes him do it again.
Yeah,
so he does this currently.
Yeah,
yes, he does it with his fiance. Does it with like. Wiz and Rich the Kid and whoever he runs into, and it's the greatest because Lior's got this amazing Israeli accent and he's, you know, just figuring out this technology. Lior.Cohen. It's the best.
You should unfollow everybody else.
I don't know about that. I got some cute girls I follow. I gotta, you know.
You got what happened to my girl back at home?
Oh, that's, you know.
She just pays the bills.
Yeah.
No.
See, what's funny is Kels knows the truth over there.
Yeah.
See?
Kels, no.
Look at him.
We can look but not touch.
This is Kels has a lot to talk about at confession on Sunday.
Nah, he ain't getting his D'Angelo on over there.
So you put this new project out.
Yeah.
Tell him what it's called.
It's called The Night I Went To, but I got two extended tapes that came out off of that, and I'm actually dropping the third one as well.
So, The Night I Went To Chicago.
Yep. The
right.
Night I Went To L.A., which came before the Chicago one, and then the final one would be The Night I Went To New York.
Which is going to be about this trip here.
Exactly.
And you're going to talk about Lior and John Legend's macaroni and cheese.
Oh, that's going to be, that's for the album. This is like album-worthy stuff right here.
You put out these three different projects. Are they all, like, because they're similarly themed, are they all, like, different takes on the same music, or are they just totally different from each other?
Nah, they're different. It's like an extended version of the project. Everything is in the same family, but, like, all my projects are really diverse musically, so I just make a lot of different type of songs. And then just try to blend them together as cohesively as I can. And so that's what I did with the mini projects. You get some rapping joints, you get some joints with me all singing. But they all inspired kind of by the vibe of the city that I was in when I released the project. And a lot of the records were made in New York and LA and Chicago too. So that's why I worked out well.
That's dope.
Yeah.
You have some songs with, like, you know, Ed Sheeran. You have songs with Chris Brown.
Chris Brown.
I was most amazed, I guess that would be the word, you text with John Mayer.
Yeah.
How did that happen?
It was crazy. We were out in New York probably in 2011. We had a show, and we ended up going to this bar. And basically, my friend Justin O asked him to take a picture with me or whatever, and we got cool. And then Ed Sheeran had a show in L.A. at the Staples Center, and my buddy Jason, you know, took us to the concert. We ended up going backstage, and John remembered me from meeting me at the bar, so we exchanged numbers, and you know, we just started engaging in a lot of different text conversations. And with that, you know, he became one of my big homies. And it's funny because when I was about to put out the Ed Sheeran record, I actually emailed it to him because I got a line that says I was slow dancing in a burning room. And so he caught on to the line and gave me a lot of feedback on the record. And yeah,
that's dope.
Was he pissed that he wasn't the one that was asked for the feature?
Nah, he was really, he's a huge Ed Sheeran fan, so he was excited to see two young dudes collaborate on a record, according to him.
Yeah, I don't want to like jump in here A&R wise, but is there a chance that maybe this Hit Boy and Rocky Fresh project has a John Mayer feature?
That would be amazing if we could pull it off. I gotta find where John is at in the
just
world.
Text him.
Yeah, it's very easy.
I'm gonna hit him.
Are you on a group chat with any of these guys?
Nah, I don't do the group chat too much. I'm only on a group chat with my mom and dad and my immediate team just so we can get to flight sometime. That's it.
But you don't have like a group of friends that's like just texting all the time about different things?
Nah, I mean, my friends have it with each other. I'm always left out. But I suck at texting. So it's like I probably wouldn't even see.
So if anyone's looking for you, they got to hit up somebody else to find you.
Either that or, believe it or not, I'm real old school. So I talk on the phone still.
Rotary phones.
Or like phone booths.
Yeah, phone booth, collect calls. Mm-hmm.
Collect calls. Where are you calling from?
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? I'll be having to make moves. Superman.
You're like, I don't have quarters on me.
So you know Patrick Stump.
Yeah.
From Fall Out Boy. We're friendly with Pete Wentz from Fall Out Boy.
Nice.
And we back in the day when we shot sketch videos, like SNL type stuff, right? We shot one with Fall Out Boy, and it was Groundhog Day themed, right?
That's
sick. And the day we went to, so we scripted the whole thing out. It was agreed to by everybody. We went to Crush Management, where they're signed downtown, and we were going to film with them. And Pete and Patrick broke the band up right in front of us.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Like, so that was the end of Fall Out Boy right in front of us, and we're like,
we still do this video?
Shoot this video right now, or what's happening?
That's a legendary thing to witness.
It was crazy.
Yes.
And sucked because we had to put this video out on that Monday morning. And so Ryland
Blackington
from the band
Cobra Starship,
who is hilarious, by the way, subbed in and for Patrick. And
but he's like a little bit taller than Patrick.
Dude, a little bit?
He's not coming out.
No.
I like to sneeze too, by the way. That's a rare thing.
You like
me.
To sneeze.
Yeah, sneezing feels good. I'll take a sneeze over a cough any day.
Yes.
Yeah.
That feels like a Twitter poll. Would you rather sneeze or cough? I don't know.
Sneeze all day.
I don't know, because sneezing, like, you get the mess of it. I would rather cough. You get
it's
it over
such
with.
Such a relief. It's just like,
yeah, but it's a relief either way. I don't know what you're talking about.
Nah, coughing is a little intense sometimes. Listen, you can feel it in different places if it's the wrong type of cough, you know?
Sure. Wait, I almost want to like double down and have like a 30-minute conversation about this.
Did you go to med school or something?
I did not go to medical school.
Does he look like it? Looks like it, right?
I don't know.
I could have been a lawyer.
Stereotype. Yeah. Like med school. You know.
But no, absolutely not a doctor.
Did your parents think that you were gonna go be anything specifically besides a rapper?
I don't know what my parents thought I was gonna be.
Ask them on the group chat.
Yeah, I should. I don't know. I don't think they knew either. I think my mom definitely will admit to you that she didn't know where I was going because I was so different than them. Like,
do you have any siblings?
Yeah, I got a younger sister, an older sister, and an older brother.
Oh, you're somewhere in the middle.
Yeah.
Whoa. And what does everyone else do?
My sister does hair for a living. My older sister, she does hair for a living.
Mm-hmm.
My older brother, he works for like some computer company. And my younger sister, she's in college right now at
That's
Kentucky
dope.
State. Yeah.
Oh, right on.
Yep. She's doing really well, way better than I was doing.
Is she going to be a doctor?
Nah, she wants to be a teacher.
She wants to teach you that a cough is better than a sneeze?
Mm-hmm.
I want to see that.
You are so wrong.
How often do you all get together?
Nowadays, really on like holidays and birthdays and stuff, but I do need to see my people more, man.
Yeah. You should start a group chat.
You got to get them a gift.
See, that ain't enough. Mm. You got to get in the same room. We can have, we might have to have y'all cook for my family event if you're down.
We went to Chicago for the WGCI Fest one year. And we interviewed everyone from like LEP.
Boys were there.
Shout out to LEP. That was my big one.
Jacob Lattimore was there. L. Varner.
Yep.
Who
else?
Oh, Ace Hood was there.
Jeezy was there.
Yeah.
We go there, and by the way, we missed seeing R. Kelly. It was a big like unfortunate thing. I know.
Yeah, I know.
Like him in that town, like you trumped us all by having him at your elementary school. But like for us in a stadium with like 20,000 people to see that would have been like wild, right?
For real.
In his city, crazy. We interviewed Jeezy downstairs, and
Well, first of all, so I interviewed Jeezy like I don't know, maybe like a month beforehand for Rolling Stone.
By the way, I'm glad that Jeezy and Ross are friends again, so you can like hear the story. So
yeah.
I would listen.
But so I interviewed Jeezy, and I asked him some question about an AK-47, and mm-hmm. he stops me and he goes, "You know what that is, right?" And I go, "Yeah, like I asked you the question. I know what it is." And so he's like, "I'm gonna get you an AK-47 for Christmas."
Damn.
And I was like, "That's
serious Christmas."
Yeah. Like, not even knowing, like, what I want. Like, it's fine. That's, right. That's not what you should get for Fat Tro, by the way.
No. Avoid that.
Anyway, so, on Christmas Eve, we go to Chicago, and we interview Jeezy again. And I'm like, "By the way, I don't know if you remember me, but a month ago, you promised me this AK-47 for Christmas. Ha ha." And he turns to his left, and he goes, "I don't have one, but my man over there does." And we were just like, "Oh, all right, we're going to get back
sounds
to New York.
Good.
Yeah,
good.
So this
yeah,
is
yeah,
fun.
Yeah.
That's crazy."
Yeah. Oh, so we had our interviews, and it went pretty well, actually.
Pretty well.
And then at the end, the last question that we had for him was, we're like, "Jeezy, can you please recite the alphabet?" And we just wanted him to be like, "A, B," right? And he was like, "Nope." And we're like,
All right. Well, perfect interview.
Nice seeing you.
Jeezy wasn't going for the whole alphabet.
No. So now new projects, plural, are out. Yeah. What's the next move for you?
Well, we're getting ready to get into the first single, which is the song "Call Me When It's Over" featuring Chris Brown.
Which is dope, by the way.
Thank
when we were
you
at your listening
much.
Session, that one really
yeah,
stuck out.
Thank you, man.
And that one we heard you had recorded for like years, right?
Yeah, I had both the Ed Sheeran song and that song recorded for a long time.
That's got to suck to sort of sit on it just for...
Who you telling? But yeah, man, I had those records done, so we finally really getting into the next level of pushing those songs. And I'm super excited to be shooting a video with Chris Brown.
Yeah,
because I grew up. I remember seeing his first video premiere on 106 in Park for the song "Run It," and I'm a huge fan of the clothing line Bape, and always have been. And he had on this Bape basketball jersey that I've been looking for ever since. So maybe on the set of that video, I might see if he still got
that'd
that.
That'd be tough, yeah.
So I can frame it or something, you know. But that's really the next move, and then we're actually gonna do like the night I went to Reloaded, which will be coming out closer to the summer. Just putting it on Apple Music and iTunes and Spotify so it could be a lot more accessible to
that's
the
awesome.
Fans. Thank you.
So you're going to have the three separate projects
and
then another one
that
people could buy.
Yep. Another one.
And
another
then also we're working on Self-Made 4 right now. I got a lot of songs on there.
So wait, how does that... We've always been like curious as to how that works. Who's A&R in that? Is that like Spiff or...
Well, Spiff is always, like, you know, around the family, but this is really, like, Wale who's, like, putting together this project, and I think it was really cool that, I think 2 weeks ago, me, him, and Ross were all out in L.A., and we were just working, you know, and got to catch a cool vibe with each other in the studio for this project in specific, so, you know, he's really taking it serious.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
So, does he decide who's on every song and he has the big vision, or do you say, like, this is really my vibe and I want to rap on that?
For self, man, I just really do what I'm asked to do, you know? So Ross or him will hit me and be like, "Man, I want you to get on this." And
you're like,
I just
fine.
Knock it out, yeah.
Yeah. How was, like, when Ross was on House Arrest?
Yeah.
Does it even feel like House Arrest? Because, like, he's got so many different rooms to go to, and it's just like, oh, right, I have this room too.
Yeah, sometimes you forget until you actually see the bracelet on his ankle. You know, but I think that's Boston itself. The way he can move around, you know, in that situation. So, yeah, definitely forget sometimes.
He was fascinating on Snapchat then, right?
That was the best time that he was on Snapchat. He would just,
yeah,
like...
That's when it really kicked off.
Yeah, because, like, the best... I feel like rappers and anybody really on Snapchat is best when they're super bored. And Ross was, like, the most bored when he was on House Arrest, obviously.
That's funny.
Like, I don't want to say I didn't want him to get off of House Arrest, but, like, for my viewing pleasure. I'm just saying.
But he wouldn't have been able to go to L.A. and be part of Rocky's show then.
Exactly.
You know?
I'm a little selfish.
Can't be selfish, man. It's a bigger picture in this.
Gotta be self-made, not
self-made,
selfish.
Hey. Yo, thanks so much. Thanks so much for coming through.
Anytime, man. I rock with y'all.
Thanks, everyone, for listening to A Waste of Time with The Real. Jeff, where can people find us?
People can find us anywhere they want to find us. If you say our name 3 times in a mirror, we will appear. Also, you can find us on SoundCloud.com/A Waste of Time. Also on iTunes, A Waste of Time with It's The Real. If you look for us on Instagram, we are It's The Real. Same with Twitter and also on Facebook.
Yes, people should go to iTunes specifically, rate us nicely, leave a nice comment. Just be nice on iTunes. That would make our
day.
Be
nice on the internet. How about that? How about that goal for the week?
Go tell a friend about A Waste of Time with It's The Real. Jeff, do you have a friend to tell?
Yes, I would like to shout out Kadus Abdul. He's our friend. He lives in D.C. He's a great dad. He is also a big sneakerhead.
huge sneakerhead, so a belated happy Air Max Day to him. I would like to tell two people, Wang and OJ Sunshine. They're definitely listening. Shoutouts to them. And they should go tell a whole bunch of friends as well. Jeff, would you like to do this again next week?
Tell Wang and OJ Sunshine?
I would like to do that next week. Do you want to do the podcast next week?
I guess so. I mean, listen, major deal alert.
Major deal alert.
You sort of have to keep doing this.
I like that.